in her Volkswagen painted with flowers, selling love potions along the road, and at an older age finds she cannot make a living anymore, and one of her clients suggests that she move into her brother's house, and her brother's recently passed, but not really. So it's a series of people knocking on the door and having their crimes solved by an aging psychic and her sidekick, who is a shade who is not passed between the worlds. But my real motivation came a little later when I started writing my newest series called The Navigator's Daughter. And I started working with a group of organizations of mystery writers, both Mystery Writers of America and Sisters in Crime Los Angeles, of which I am proudly to say I'm the president of that group. We're 200 strong. We meet over at the Radford Studios once a month. And that series was motivated, The Navigator's Daughter, by the true story of my father, who was a World War II navigator bombardier and was shot out of the skies over Hungary during the Second World War, and how he escaped. And that motivated it. And it's a story of a daughter's promise to her father to find the people that rescued him. So that's kind of brief. It really, you never know where you're going to go and how our career is going to be. It's a matter of kind of thinking you can do this and having a little faith in yourself and realizing if you have the idea, do it. Don't let age or time stop you. I think that kind of wraps it up for me today. I thank you for having me, and I look forward to coming back another time. Thanks.
KPFK, now in our fund drive. Please make your contribution at 818-985-5735 or pledge online at kpfk.org.
You're listening to KPFK 90.7 FM, Los Angeles.
Good afternoon and welcome to Middle East in Focus. I'm Esty Chandler. Right Livelihood is a courage-powered community united for social change, committed to peace, justice, and sustainability for all. For over 40 years, they have presented the Right Livelihood Award to 4 individuals or organizations annually, recognizing the actions of brave visionaries and building impactful connections around the world. 198 laureates from 77 countries have received the distinction to date, boosting both urgent and long-term social change internationally. The award was founded in 1980 following the Nobel Foundation's rejection of a proposal to create 2 new prizes to honor individuals committed to advancing social justice and environmental causes, especially changemakers from the global south, and is why many refer to it as the alternative or progressive Nobel Prize. Right Livelihood's work goes beyond presenting the award and raising the profiles by providing laureates with long-term support, highlighting their solutions, and providing protections when their lives and liberty are in danger, as well as connecting them and their innovative solutions to academia and opportunities for collaboration. We are very fortunate to have one of the 2024 Right Livelihood Award laureates and a longtime friend of this show, Issa Amro, with us today from Hebron in the occupied West Bank. Issa, along with the organization he founded, Youth Against Settlements, was honored by Right Livelihood for their steadfast nonviolent resistance to Israel's illegal occupation, promoting Palestinian civic action through peaceful means. Issa Amro is a Palestinian human rights defender who has dedicated his life to nonviolent resistance against Israeli occupation and apartheid in the occupied West Bank city of Hebron and beyond. Together with the organization he founded, Youth Against Settlements, or YAS, he has been a leading voice in nonviolent activism in the West Bank and internationally, striving to create a future where Palestinians live freely and with dignity. His efforts have garnered international recognition as Youth Against Settlements' strict commitment to nonviolence stands in stark contrast to the violent realities of the Israeli military occupation they live within. It is always an honor to welcome Issa Amro back to Middle East in Focus.
Thank you, Esti. And thanks to Middle East Focus team. I'm happy to talk again to you and to your audience.
Issa, it's always great to have you. Youth Against Settlement, or YAZ, the organization you founded, was recognized this year by this prestigious award for successfully mobilizing local communities and international allies to use nonviolent tactics to resist ongoing Israeli military occupation, ethnic cleansing, and now genocide, while also playing an essential role in documenting human rights violations, organizing protests, and importantly, supporting local communities in Hebron who live under constant pressure, threats, and attacks from the Palestinian Authority, as well as Israeli military occupation forces and Israeli settlers. Can you talk about that community building work on the ground and the complexities, especially amid what I believe to be the most violent time in the history of the Palestinian struggle for freedom and independence?
Yes, I want to explain to the listeners that according to the Israeli military law, Palestinians are not allowed for any kind of general assembly. And nonviolence resistance is not allowed. It's a crime, according to the Israeli military law. So me personally and many other Palestinian human rights defenders and many Palestinian peaceful and nonviolence activists were attacked, were beaten, were arrested, were killed by the Israeli military forces. Because Israel doesn't distinguish between violence or nonviolence. We are all foreign and illegal, and they go after us. Me personally was arrested, was indicted, I was beaten, tortured. Our center was raided many times by the Israeli settlers and by the Israeli soldiers. They destroyed our media office, confiscated our cameras. So we are under a real oppression and attacks from the Israeli military. But we as Palestinians don't give up. We don't want to be only victims. We are the victims of the Israeli occupation, but we try to be proactive and to do proactions and try to really make a change. First, we are a defense history. We defend our land. We defend our right. We defend our people. So the main idea was to defend the Palestinian spaces in Hebron, which the Israeli settlers and the Israeli soldiers and the Israeli military system and the Israeli government is trying to take over, is trying to transfer the Palestinians from their homes and take the land and make it a settler area. And that started in 1967 after the occupation, after they occupied Hebron, and the first settlement in the West Bank was founded in Hebron city, outside the city, but it's called Kiryat Arba. And Kiryat Arba, it's the city of the Israeli fanatic, extremist, fascist settlers. We call them the Kahanists, and the Kahanists were announced by the American State Department as a terrorist organization. And the second milestone was 1994, after Baruch Goldstein broke into the Ibrahimic Mosque and killed 29 Palestinians and hundreds were injured. So instead of punishing the Israeli settlers and the Israeli army for this occupation, apartheid, separation and segregation, they punished the Palestinians. So they work hard to destroy the Palestinian community to prevent Palestinians from working together. So we, in Youth Against Settlement, we started working to build the Palestinian community by giving out cameras to the Palestinian families, to the Palestinian women, to the Palestinian children, to looking at the human rights violations, to know their rights. So we train the Palestinian families legal rights, to know their rights according to Israeli military law and even according to the Palestinian law, because we are under both authorities, but it's mainly the occupation. And we do work a lot to train the Palestinian families, teach them about media and about presentation skills, about how to talk to media, what to say to the media, and not to be shy from the interviews, because they are the victims of Israeli occupation, human rights violations, and we need the victims to be able to talk about their feelings, about facts, about what's going on around them. So we started documentation, and documentation of the occupation was a great idea. We managed to expose the human rights violations and the violence and the oppression and the aggression by using video cameras as youth entitlement. And we used it for social media, we used it for mainstream media, and it worked, worked well. Then we started working with the schools and the universities to bring volunteers from outside the area to the area to help the community and connect the families to each other, and to connect the Palestinian civil society to the families, to the area, to work very hard about protecting the Palestinian identity. Something else very important, we started, we call it volunteering days, you know, days of maintenance, because Palestinian families don't have access to maintenance. What means we don't have access to maintenance? If you need an electrician or a plumber, or if you want to do gardening for your house, it's very hard for a craftsperson to come to your house because the area is restricted and closed by Israeli checkpoints. So we announced about volunteering days of different professions. And we used to go to schools, to universities, and ask them to give us their own students who are ready to help and volunteer. And we go to the families, we do assessment first. We do electricity maintenance, we do plumbing, we do painting, cleaning, gardening. It was so important to the families to see that. And it's about engaging people together and working together. So we worked on that. We established the kindergarten. It's a kind of infrastructure in the area for the families to have kindergarten. We didn't have a kindergarten in the area. The commission doesn't want any kind of infrastructure for the families to remain and stay in their communities. And I remember that we spent 3 years working in the kindergarten, working day and night, smuggling the certain materials, smuggling the toys to the kindergarten for the kids to play. Then we established a women's center to engage women and to respect the culture. We wanted the women to have their own space, a safe place for the women to work in their own social, political, economical projects. And in an area called the Salami Neighborhood in Hebron, very close to the Ibrahimi Mosque. And we established the women's center, and the women started leading the resistance in their area and started leading the Sumud. And we, the Palestinians, we try to support the steadfastness of the Palestinian families. Lately, we started working to, we do tours, we do tours for Palestinians, for international, to know, understand the human rights relations. And lately, we started October 7th, because the situation is really hard now, and economically, the majority of the Palestinian family became poor. They don't have any income because of the army restriction for Palestinian workers, the army restriction for import and export for the Palestinians. So the majority of Palestinian activities, Palestinian economical entity is closed. So we have a high unemployment rate and poverty rate, and the Palestinian workers are not allowed to work in Israel. So we help them by food aid. We help the Palestinian families to help each other, that we connect the rich families with the poor families to work with each other.
Yes, and for all of that great work, you all were awarded and honored with the Right Livelihood Award. It's truly a testament. You're listening to Middle East in Focus on listener-supported KPFK in Los Angeles. I'm Esti Chandler, very, very grateful to be joined today by a great friend of the show, human rights defender, and now a Right Livelihood Award laureate, along with the organization he founded, Youth Against Settlements. That's Issa Amro, who's based in Hebron in the occupied West Bank. As you know, KPFK is a listener-supported public radio station, and that is why you don't hear advertisements during our shows and interrupting our interviews. We're part of the Pacifica Network, which is now celebrating our 75th anniversary of being on the air, a really notable milestone for an independent media network whose idea was actually born in a detention camp where conscientious objectors were forcibly detained during World War II. KPFK and the Pacifica Network were created by people who were alarmed by the power that large corporations and governments had in shaping the stories the publics told, which in turn shape public narrative. Sound familiar? Well, KPFK and Pacifica took the bold move not to rely on corporations or on government funding, and instead, for all these years, have relied on the community that we serve, both by inviting people to donate their time and labor to this endeavor, and by reaching out to the community we serve, to you all, to donate whatever you can afford to help us keep the lights on and this station broadcasting. So I'm asking you now to help us keep going, help us continue to raise the voices of people like our guest today, human rights defender and Right Livelihood laureate, Issa Amro, by calling 818-985-5735. That's 818-985-5735. You can also donate by logging on to kpfk.org now. Issa, on October 3rd, Israeli fighter jets fired missiles at a building in the Tulkarm refugee camp in the northern part of the occupied West Bank, which reports say killed at least 18 Palestinians, including 3 children. A paramedic that was on the scene of that massacre said the bodies of those kills were, quote, scattered in pieces, end quote. I also want to express my personal condolences to you. About 2 weeks ago, Israeli soldiers violently attacked Sheikh Ziyad Abu Hillel, a 66-year-old friend of yours, during a raid on his home in Hebron. The reports say he was severely beaten until he lost consciousness and unfortunately later died at the hospital from his injuries. He was a friend, a father, and a grandfather. I wonder if you can discuss the impact of these events on your community in Hebron, and also brief us a bit on Israeli military actions in the West Bank, as the U.S. media is focused on our elections and the world is focused on Israel's expanding large-scale bombing missions beyond Gaza now into Lebanon, Syria, and also further threatening violence in Iran.
First, I want to tell the American audience, our friends, our supporters, the people who are really principled, who have principles, and who think that all human beings should be protected, that the American government now is blindly supporting the Israeli occupation to bomb the Palestinian in Gaza, to bomb the Lebanese civilians in Lebanon, to kill and bomb Palestinians in the West Bank, and now they want to start a Middle East war because the current Biden administration is not really implementing the conditional aid to Israel based on ending the occupation and stop the war and the genocide. And the Israeli fascist government now feel emboldened and feel that they have a green light from the current government, and especially from Biden as a president, to do whatever they want in the Middle East. And Israel, unfortunately, is using the busy times of our friends in America who are working to make a change and choose a new leadership. And I hope that they really work to change the blind support to Israel, because without that, Israel can't have the occupation for that long. And they can't go on with their bombing, or their genocide, their apartheid, and their fascism against the Palestinians. What is happening after October 7th in West Bank, that Israel is using the war to expand the Israeli settlements, to increase the number of the Israeli settlements in the private Palestinian land, to demolish Palestinian houses, to isolate Palestinians and keep them in ghettos, you know, closed gates for each city, each compound, each community. So we have a fragmented West Bank. Workers can't go to work. Economical problem, prisoners. Israel arrested more than 11,000 Palestinian prisoners. Around 3,500 of them are in administrative detention without a trial. Raid to the Palestinian cities, to the Palestinian towns every night. And they kill, they shoot many innocent Palestinian children, Palestinian people, Palestinian civilians. They kill them. We're talking about maybe 800 Palestinians were killed since October 7th. In the West Bank, the majority of them, the ultimate majority of them, were not part of any kind of resistance. 3 days ago, I saw them killing Injinin, a Palestinian child who was escaping from the Israeli military forces. He was shot in the head. And there they confirmed the killing. He was not a competent military person. He was a child escaping from the Israeli military jeeps. This is what is the situation that they really, for the first time since 20 years, they used the jets to bomb inhabited camps with high-weighted bombs. And they don't distinguish between anybody, a military person or a civilian. And the majority of the people, the ultimate majority of the people in the Palestinian camps, it means the refugees, you know. They are civilians and they were killed in Tulkarem. They are killing people in Tubas. They are killing people in Nablus every day. And in Jenin, a raid in Hebron, raid in Bethlehem, Ramallah, all over. The raid is really every night is tea. And they, when they got into Palestinian houses, they demolish some parts of the houses. They destroy the doors. They damage the furniture. They are wild. They are, you know, they paint sometimes Star of David in Palestinian gates and Palestinian shops. They use all the time live ammunition to shoot toward Palestinians. They terrify the Palestinians. They intimidate Palestinians. We don't have a stable life since October 7th in the West Bank, even within our own city. In each to where I live, it, from time to time, they close the checkpoints, curfew. Yesterday, I was leaving my house to go to meet an Italian journalist. I found the checkpoint closed. Why? Because of Sukkot, because of the Jewish holiday. So with Jewish holiday, they should celebrate, not close the life of Palestinian people and keep them in their homes. And it's not about security. It's something very important. It's not about security. It's about racism. It's about that they want Palestinians to suffer more and more because their policy is they don't evict you from your house, but they make it impossible for you to stay. And my friend, you know, was killed. He was the icon of PMSH. We say it. So never mind, they say it, because he was really participating. They had Abu Hlayel in every protest, peaceful protest in Hebron, next to me, talking to the soldiers, confronting the soldiers, and challenging the soldiers. He was an icon in Palestine, all over the Palestine, for being very brave, to be very close to the soldiers. But unfortunately, Israel now, the Israeli military is wild, and they are acting as a militia, not as an army with the instructions and with morals, or with you know, they don't follow the international law.
Speaking of militias, I want to get one more question in. We only have a few minutes left. Can you discuss what settlers are calling a revolution? More than 60 illegal farm outposts that have been established in the West Bank over the past 7 years, seizing, as you were saying, vast tracts of Palestinian land, a project that has become a fomenter of Jewish terror in the West Bank, which Netanyahu's government is not only permitting, but financing. There have been over 1,400 reported incidents of settler violence in the West Bank since 2023. And on Tuesday, the UK Foreign Office imposed sanctions against 7 organizations that support illegal Israeli settlers in the West Bank. But they held back from penalizing 2 of the extremist members of the Israeli government, as the former Foreign Secretary David Cameron had actually planned to do. They are Israel's Finance Minister Bezalel Smotrich and the National Security Minister Itamar Ben-Gvir, both of whom I believe you know. Can you talk about, in our last few minutes, these settler gangs that have been waging pogroms in the West Bank over this past year, and how it's affecting communities throughout the occupied West Bank? This is on top of the Israeli military presence there.
I was very happy to hear the ICJ, the International Court of Justice, ruling that the occupation is illegal and all the Israeli settlements are illegal. And according to Geneva Convention, Article 49, it considers all the settlements in the Arab occupied territories illegal and a war crime. So the settlement itself is a war crime. After October 7th, the Israeli settler movement used that the people in the world, the media, and the official countries, they were busy with the war in Gaza, to build more and more settlements and outposts. For me, all the settlements are illegal, even the normal ones, only the outposts. So they are increasing their land theft and then confiscation. And the Palestinians in Hebron, in South Mount Hebron, and Jordan Valley, in Purim, on all the cities and the villages around the settlements, they suffer from pogroms. We have a daily pogroms, all over West Bank. Settlers are organized to attack Palestinian villages, to attack Palestinian people, to attack Palestinian farmers. Today, the Palestinian farmers were attacked in Susia for picking butter. So the olive harvest campaign was really disturbed. And the sanction on settler movement is proportional to the violence we, the Palestinians, facing the ground.
Issa, we can't thank you enough for taking the time to be with us today. I know it's very hard to get connections there. We appreciate your work and want to congratulate you and Youth Against Settlements on your award. Negwa and I both take the responsibility of bringing stories and guests that folks just won't hear on mainstream corporate media outlets, like the voice of Issa Amro, not only on the international crisis of the ongoing genocide in Gaza, but the emergency in the West Bank and the Israeli government's expanding their war into Lebanon, Syria, and now threatening an attack on Iran, as well as Issa pointed out, our own government's role in arming and providing intelligence for the genocide and additional public and private institutions further materially supporting it. I'm asking you, our audience, to please help us continue to bring you these important voices by making a pledge now by calling 818-985-5735. That's 818-985-5735. Or log on to kpfk.org to make a contribution and keep Middle East in Focus and the other great informative shows on KPFK on the air. As you've been hearing all year, KPFK and Pacifica continue to live on the edge. Please don't let us fall over the edge and off the air, which has happened in the past due to lack of funding. You don't need me to tell you how incredibly high the stakes are right now. We just cannot allow that to happen in the midst of an ongoing genocide that the U.S. is complicit in. We're all hands on deck here doing what we can to keep bringing you the news and information that you rely on. Please help us continue that mission by calling 818-985-5735 or logging in to kpfk.org and make a donation today. Once again, I want to thank our guest, founder of Youth Against Settlements, Issa Amro. I also want to thank Mark Maxwell for his production support today. For KPFK Los Angeles, I'm Esty Chandler thanking you for taking this time to put the Middle East in focus.
KPFK. Press option 2 for the pledge line. You'll get the call center. Or go to the website, kpfk.org. Become a sustaining member of this station. It's not just that we need your support, but that you need us. We understand that this program has value to you. This program reflects values that you share. And if you appreciate those things, put your money where your heart is and donate a little bit to us. If everyone listening donated, we wouldn't have to appeal so often for funds. The statistics show that only 1 in 10 or 1 in 7 of the people who listen actually do donate in a fund drive, and we need to increase that, and that's up to you, and we hope that you will respond favorably. If everybody who received the KPFK dispatch, for example, were a subscriber to the station, we probably wouldn't need to have a fund drive on the air at all. We have about 18,000 people who care enough about the station to want to know what's going on with it and get an email newsletter. But if all of those people were dollar-a-day sustainers, we would cover our budget and then some, be able to improve our service and increase our staffing and meet your needs better. So please share the word about KPFK and please donate now. 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK, or go to kpfk.org and click on donate.